Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 83 from August the 28th of 1993. I'm sitting here with Doc and Hardbody Harper. We're tired. This is the second episode we're doing on this lovely Sunday night after Doc has got his church out of the way this morning, and he's probably salty as ever, as you heard last week. We're cutting this episode the exact same week, or exact same day. We're in Clintwood, Virginia, Clintwood Elementary School, drawing 310 people to this venue. I think this is a new venue, first-time venue, but I really can't remember. So that said, while Harper's rustling through his papers, or Doc is rustling through his papers, Doc, how you doing, man? You okay? You ready to jump into this thing and get this over with? That way we can put these damn kids to bed and won't have to hear any more bitching from our wives?
Wait, if you think ending this show and being out there would stop the bitching from our wives, I would say hit the tagline. And let's go.
I know
you, right? and I both know there is no elixir for that. That's just what we call day to day normal married life. I'm doing fantastic, pal. This is a good one we're about to get into. We said last week that we're out of the valley, and we gave, you know, we were throwing high marks around all over the place. All three of us were north of 9. Harper's out of fucking 10. Well,
yeah,
we're back and it's still hot. This one's going to be awesome. I just couldn't be more excited than I am right now. And I do have research when you kick it back to me after we take a quick trip out to the moon.
Do you want to do the? I mean, we're going to be in this. We're kind of in a hurry this week, so you want to give the?
No, we ain't in no hurry, dude. I got the damn research. Nah, okay. Bro, I'm right here, pal. Well, Harper, how you doing?
Yeah, Harper, what's up, man? You good?
I'm doing great, sir.
How's your computer doing?
Fucking, bro, fuck this shit, man. What the fuck?
So nobody since last week's show has contacted you about what you need to do to fix that son of a bitch?
No.
Damn.
I'm still waiting for a 49er Dodger.
That dude's too busy locked. That guy's too busy locked in a Twitter battle with my fake account.
He really? Oh. That's actually some awesome stuff they're doing, feuding with each other. There was a tweet from Fake Doc, something about I support the Dreamers, including at USC 49ers Dodger BTT Hall of Famer, and I was like, Jesus Christ, what the hell? Oh my God!
When the marks start entertaining the bookers, that's always good. All right, so are we good? Are we ready to go to Clintwood, Virginia?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Mike, hold on a second, just to show you that I'm not
in any hurry.
Yes, new. But just to show you, I'm not in any hurry. I'm here to do what we need to do for the Army and especially the Darkholics. Nobody ever asks you, Mike, how are you doing today?
Yeah. I'm tired. I'm the one who edits this shit. I'm the one who puts it out there. I'm the one who does all the work on this shit.
Just ask I'm exhausted. A question. Remind me never to do that again. Okay. Shit. What a ass. We are in Clintwood, Virginia this week, and I would assume for several weeks afterwards. This is a town of about 1,400 people. We're in very far west.
Damn.
1,400. That's going to come into play later when we have to start figuring some other things out. We're in far western Virginia, and we're real close to West Virginia. So I bet you real Virginians would say this is more West Virginia than it is Virginia, I bet. So that's my thoughts there. Interestingly enough, this town was named after a Confederate officer. Any surprise there?
No, I mean, it's the South.
Clinton Woods. So there you go.
It's the South. I mean, shit happens. I'm not going to get into a discussion about statues and shit as it pertains to my hometown. Yeah,
probably shouldn't. Mitch Landrieu has better things to do, right? I would assume, Mike, you're not a big fan of bluegrass music.
Take a fucking wild guess, asshole.
Would you even know, like, if you heard some music being played, would you know to go, that's bluegrass music?
Yeah, but I mean, don't do nothing for me.
Real banjo heavy.
Yeah.
That's Ralph Stanley, who's a very, very big name in the bluegrass world, was from the same county as this town. Now, let's get into the stuff that everybody really likes. How many grains of salt do we have here? And how many grains of pepper do we have here? You know what I mean?
Yes, Doc.
Well, we are, this may be, wow. I don't know that we've ever been in a town with this much honkiness. 98.52% white.
It's a lot of
holy
fucking white people.
Shit.
So let's just
run. What's the other 2%?
Well, it's actually 1.5%.
Fuck, they got one half like Mulata.
If you had 1,400 people, 1,379 of them are white.
I'm glad this brings you so much joy, Doc.
Well, that's like 21 people who aren't white.
Okay. All right.
That's crazy, huh?
All right.
Fuck.
So, I don't know.
Why is this so cow? You're laughing. You think this is so funny and hilarious.
Well, it's 0.19% black. I don't know that we've seen numbers like this before. I mean,
0.9%.
You know how back in the day that would be like the racists would be like, oh, there's a black family that moved in. This is the whole town. It's like there's one black family.
Well,
that's crazy. You weren't. And it's not even.
Go ahead, Harper.
It's not even like it. It's like a 90% black guy.
They're like,
it's only 0.9%.
But they're like, they have to be celebrities in town. They're like, did you see the black family at the hardware store? Oh, I heard they were over at the Mexican store. Because there's only one of them. There's only one family like that. It's like an Easter egg hunt at all times.
Okay. Find,
instead of find Waldo, it's like find Ladarius. I mean.
Come on.
God damn, dude. Fuck. All right. Let's
well,
let's...
the median household income here is $22,663. And I'm a little surprised here, but only 21.6% of the population is under the poverty line.
Interesting figure.
What? It should be half, at least.
Yeah, you would think so, but, you know,
well, there
was
you
a...
Go. Stop making fun.
Well, now, hold on. I also looked at their top 10 employers, and I think there was, like, some, like, the county's behavioral, you know, mental health facilities, and so I'm sure there's a lot of future school shooters that are roaming around.
Okay.
Oh, you see that?
Well, with all those white people and so many poor people and not a lot of industry, it seems like all the perfect recipe and bluegrass music, it seems like all the perfect recipes for some shot up schools. So anyway, Clintwood, Virginia, welcome to the...
Okay, I'm editing that out. That's, you can't joke like that, bro.
Why?
Welcome
to AR-15.
Okay.
Bump stock. welcome, Clintwood, Virginia, to the Smoky Mountain family. We've been waiting for you to get here, and we could see you from far off in the night because you're so white, you were glowing in the dark.
Now that Doc is finished with his insults because he likes to play heel, we will get into the show. I want to remind you, we are still, as of this recording, searching for the 200th five-star review on Apple Podcasts. So if you're out there, you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please throw us a five-star review. That way we can do the Ask BTT Broads bonus show for all of our listeners, not just our patrons, once we get to 200 five-star reviews. As of this recording, we're 32 five-star reviews away right now. So 32 more to go, and we'll be at 200, and we will do the bonus show once we get there. And then I want to say, I normally do this later on the show, but check out our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It is a great way to support this show. The show gets a small amount of money on kick. Ugh, I can't even get it out, Doc. I'm getting so tired. We get a little kickback in return whenever you use the Amazon referral link. So it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Please use it and support the show that way. All right. We get into the show, Dutch and Bob Cottle. We've got a big time down and dirty today with Ron Wright, who will pay out his bounty on that segment. So remember how we ended things last week with Dirty White Boy, Primetime Brian Lee, fighting over who would get the bounty. So we'll see how that goes with Ron. Ron wasn't there last week. Dutch doesn't tell us who, though, Ron Wright will pay. So keep that in mind. Again, we'll find out. And the Dirty White Boy will be facing off against Mike Sampson for the Beat the Champ TV title match. Right after that, they roll into the first match. It's Robbie Eagle and the Dark Secret versus the Rock and Roll Express. It's a 3-minute match that sees the Rock and Roll Express defeat Robbie Eagle and the Dark Secret. Doc, did you have anything from that match?
No, pretty standard issue rock and roll stuff.
Yeah. Harper, what about you? Anything from you?
Yeah, same old shit we've seen before.
Yeah, same. I mean, it was an enhancement talent match. What more can you do? After that, we roll into a Rock and Roll Express promo. Now, I'm not going to play it, but I will mention this. September 11th, the Rock and Roll has put their hair on the line against the Bruise Brothers in Morristown. Ricky just takes another shot at someone with that "my daddy wasn't a promoter" comment that he made a few months back.
Last time
he said that, there was a lively debate on Twitter about who he was referencing, and we even talked about it. I actually have a hard time, the more I think about it, with him saying that's Watts talking to Watts' son, because Watts really gave the Rock and Roll a huge break in Mid-South. Some people messaged me and said they believed he was talking about Watts. Others said he's talking about the Von Erichs. Some of them even said he was talking about the Jarretts. Who knows? All are possible, I guess. I just don't think it's Watts based on the fact that...
In 1993, it's probably more likely to be, if it isn't Watts, it's probably more likely to be Jarrett than it is the Von Erichs. The Von Erichs' time is coming on now.
Well, but my point is on Watts.
Yeah, the Von Erichs are done, man.
Yeah, the Von Erichs are done by then. But my point on Watts is, Watts gave them a hell of an opportunity in Mid-South. Why would they bag on him unless there was something that happened with when they went to WCW and Watts was there? You see what I mean?
Hey, you never know why people say things in promos. The Fullers have both said publicly that they liked the Von Erich boys, but it didn't stop Robert Fuller from going out there and proclaiming that he wasn't going to do the Von Erich thing.
That's true. It could have been.
remember, you didn't. Nothing had to be real back then. You could just say shit in interviews and get away with it. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because fucking no one knows.
Right. So, yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe that's just their way of expressing themselves, and they're not really taking a shot at anyone. They're just trying to make it seem like they are. So it's a work. It's not shooting right there. They're just working, but it comes across so good you think it's a shoot. So anyway, now what we're going to do, we're going to cut it over to Cornette in the most utterly absurd promo I think I've seen in Smoky Mountain, even though we've seen some crazy stuff. Cornette is in bed with stuffed animals and Jimmy Del Rey and Dr. Tom are with him. And it's the craziest stuff you'll see. I'm just going to stop talking about it and let's give it a listen.
Well, Dutch, you know, Jim Cornette came out on the short end of the K-Town Showdown with Bob Armstrong, but Bullitt's problems aren't over yet. Right now, let's go to this tape of Cornette at home just a few days after he went to the hospital. Watch it, fans.
Jim, cheer up. It'll be okay.
Don't pat me. Don't Jim, pat me, Tom. Look, I'm sore. Pat me.
I know you're sore, but cheer up. It'll be all right.
All right. Jim, it ain't going to be all right.
It will be all right. Listen, hey, look at the new toy.
I don't want to see it.
Look at it, Jim.
I don't want to see it.
Jim, look,
I told
watch,
him I'd...
What? I know. What? It even growls. Let's go. Wait. You see that? Look at that.
Turn it off. Turn it
Jim?
Off. Turn it off. I don't want to see it.
She's gonna be
turn it off. Jimmy! Jimmy,
here, here's your eyes. Here's your eyes. Put your eyes back on now.
I'm gonna put this. That's too cold. Give me warmer ice.
No, the doctor said you gotta.
I don't care what the doctor said.
No, you gotta do what the doctor tells you.
Look,
take care of yourself. We gotta get you back.
All right, let me explain to you people exactly why this camera's in my house. It's the only time I'd ever let a guy like this cameraman in my personal house. The reason's real simple. You can see what Bob Armstrong did to me. He tried to mutilate me. He's a homicidal maniac. But it wasn't bad enough at the K-Town Showdown what he did to me. He immediately, the day after that match was over with, he went to the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Board of Directors and he asked for his job back as commissioner. He, after all the things that he tried to do to me and my men, after the way that he tried to mutilate me, after the way that he's talked about us, then he goes and he says, oh, my work is done now. I did what I said I was going to do. Now I want to be commissioner again. How can a guy like that, a pathological maniac, how can he be making decisions on me and my men? We'd be done in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I realized that, and so did Bob Armstrong. So what did I do? I called my lawyers. I had a few injunctions filed. I had a few grievances filed. I went to the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Board of Directors, and I said, there's no way that this guy can be allowed to be in a position of authority ever in Smoky Mountain Wrestling again. And I filed those injunctions. I stopped it. They can't proceed any further. They can't make any decision on Bob Armstrong as long as I've got things held up. So then I said to Bob Armstrong, because I still want to get him back, I'm done getting in the ring with him. That's obvious. But I still want to get even with him. So I made Bob Armstrong a little deal through my attorneys and through his attorneys. I said, if you'll take two matches, Bob Armstrong, if you will wrestle two matches that I want, then I'll drop these injunctions and we'll just see who the better man is and we'll see who the commissioner's going to be. Now, you see, Bob Armstrong, he thought that he was going to stop the Heavenly Bodies from going to SummerSlam, but no. They're going to be there. They're going to be challenging those Steiner brothers for the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team title. And if I have to be wheeled out of that ring in an iron lung, I'll be there too in Detroit, Michigan. And then he thought that he was going to rid the Smoky Mountain Wrestling area of Jim Cornette, ruin my dominance of professional wrestling. Well, I couldn't be further from the truth, because even from my bed here, I can still orchestrate things just like Al Capone from his prison cell. So Bob Armstrong, here's your deal. And for all the rest of you rednecks, I want you to understand this and understand this good. Bob Armstrong, the shining knight of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, everybody's hero that goes around mutilating innocent wrestling managers, is going to have to wrestle two matches. He's going to have to wrestle in Knoxville, Tennessee on September the 12th, and he's going to have to wrestle in Johnson City, Tennessee on September the 17th. The match that takes place on September the 12th is real interesting, because the man that I'm bringing into Smoky Mountain Wrestling is going to face Bob Armstrong. And if Bob Armstrong wins, then he gets to be the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling again. But if my man wins, then me, Jim Cornette, I'm going to be commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And believe me, things are going to be run just a little bit differently around here. And then on September 17th in Johnson City, I'm bringing another man in, and Bob Armstrong's going to wrestle him. And if Bob Armstrong loses that match, then he's got to leave Smoky Mountain Wrestling forever. But if my man loses that match, I have said that I'll leave Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Because you see, I'm just that sure of these two guys that I'm bringing in. Now, everybody wants to know who they are. Well, September 17th is going to be kept a secret. It's my secret weapon. Nobody's going to know. Could it be Yokozuna from the World Wrestling Federation? Could it be a maniac like Kevin Sullivan or Abdullah the Butcher? Could it be... Well, it could be anybody. And Bob Armstrong, you won't know until you step foot in Freedom Hall who it's going to be September the 17th. But all you got to know is if you don't win that match, then you leave Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But I can't resist. I can't resist temptation to tell you about September the 12th, Knoxville, Tennessee, the Civic Coliseum. Bob Armstrong, you're going to be facing a man who is without doubt one of the wildest men ever in professional wrestling. He's a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion. He's a legendary name in the sport of wrestling. And he's also a homicidal maniac just like you are. Because if you want to be crazy, if you want to be insane, if you want to be murderous in your intentions, then I went out and I got the one guy in wrestling that epitomizes all those words. Terry Funk, the wild man, the madman from Amarillo, Texas. And he's going to be here in Knoxville on September the 12th. And he's going to wrestle you, Bob Armstrong, although I wouldn't use the word wrestle. I'd use the word fight and brawl and scratch and kick and gouge and do whatever he's got to do until finally Bob Armstrong is defeated. Right there in the Knoxville Coliseum, where he hospitalized me. Right there in the Knoxville Coliseum, where he thinks it's his second hometown. When Terry Funk beats you, Bob Armstrong, then I'm going to be the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And like I said, things will be run just a little bit differently. You're going to end up at a grease rack in some Exxon station in Marietta, Georgia, with your sons and the Rock and Roll Express along with you. Because if I'm running Smoky Mountain Wrestling, they don't stand a chance. The Heavenly Bodies, the Bruise Brothers, and my friends would be riding high. And that's exactly what's riding on this match on September the 12th. You beat Funk, and you could be the commissioner again. But if Funk beats you, oh, brother, am I going to have some fun. And he's going to do such a number on you that then September the 17th, you're going to be out of here. And I'm going to have my final revenge. I may be done in the ring, but believe me, I'm not done.
Holy shit. I don't know what else to say. I muted us during that because we were talking so much about it. And this is a fucking train wreck in the most sincere way possible. Doc, you're laughing. So just by the fact that you're the one laughing, go ahead. Give me your thoughts.
Well, the visual is worth all the words we're going to say because he's, you know, just covered with stuffed animals there. I tried to say that. Muted me during the first part. Never mute me again, by the way. But when he says Del Rey he wants some warmer ice for his ice pack. And he's got gauze in his mouth so that he's puffy and he's swollen and he's got the neck brace on and he's just in bed. By the way, what a classy headboard that is. It's got the mirror in there so your girl can see you while you're getting it from behind.
That's nice. Y'all can make eye contact.
For real.
You know he's not the only one who thought that when he was looking at that shit. Because it's one of those beds that has a 4,000-pound headboard with the shelves and the mirrors.
That thing was, I guarantee you, was the worst thing to move whenever Corny moved. Because you couldn't break that thing, and it weighed 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Del Rey straightening the stuffed animals is a pop. But just wait for next week, because next week's version of this is perhaps my favorite promo in Smoky Mountain history. We find out that the Heavenly Bodies are going to the WWF, which, you know, that was alluded to last week with the Steiners. You could kind of, the thing that gets me with him straightening the animals, you could also see Del Rey playing with the animals off camera. So I'm Jesus sure that Christ. Was not his script. Del Rey was just like, fuck
it. The Shoney bear. In the background, there's a fucking Shoney's bear. And that shit, and I completely forgot about that. Like, it's the fucking Shoney bear.
Hey, man.
Remember
that? You don't sell a burger towel 25 years later and not have been to a couple of Shoney's in your damn life.
Yeah.
He went to a fucking
Shoney bear.
Look, I guarantee you, Corny being on the road as much as he was, and that a lot of times being the only thing that was open 24 hours, Corny visited a lot of Shoney's in the South.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. That's just Armstrong. That's him dealing with Armstrong at the beginning. That's just a colossal level of ridiculousness. And again, we say this with the highest level of praise because that's what we're into is ridiculousness. And then to top it off, and I won't segue to this point, he's bringing in a legend. So I'll let Harper talk about what he thought from the first part, and then we'll get into the real meat of the matter, which is Jesus Christ, who's coming in.
Yeah, Harper, just overall, from top to bottom, what did you think about all this?
That shit was hilarious, dude. And when when fucking Dr. Tom's got the one that's like the one that when you touch him he starts fucking growling. And I was thinking, well, he doesn't have kids though, right?
No,
Cornette.
No.
So where did he get all the fucking stuffed animals from? Are those really there?
Chalk that up to another question I gotta ask Corny when I talk to him.
Where did you source your stuffed animals?
It's like someone went to the fucking claw machine and just went fucking crazy.
keep going, Hopper. I agree.
Dude, but seriously, that fucking Shoney's bear. That brought back a blast from the past of my fucking childhood, man. I used to love going in there. I mean, back when they used to have them around, but they had the little comic for the kids to read, and I was like, man, that's so great. The fucking Shoney Bear.
Oh, this was a train wreck, and it was beautiful. What else you got from it, Harper?
Yes, it was.
Anything else?
And the ice. The warm fucking... And
the ice.
You wanted some warmer ice. And I was thinking, how could you make a fucking warmer ice? And then wouldn't it be nice that he comes back with a bag of water?
He went and put it in the microwave, and it melted.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing, Jimmy? What are you doing, Jimmy? What is this? Well, I put it in the microwave, Jim, and I warmed it for you. I gave it a wiggle, a jiggle, and a whole kit and caboodle, Jim. Here's another spoiler for y'all. This ain't the last time that this scene happens. This is gonna happen again.
Next week's is even better.
Keep going, Doc.
Well, and so in his efforts to fight Armstrong in the match to see who's the commissioner, I'll just lead you into it, Mike. But we're bringing in a huge name. It's time for the. We don't have to worry about spoilers because he just tells us straight up. With no build here. We're just there. And so, Mike, who's?
I just think.
He said it, but he's bringing in Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Bruh, I mean, he
when
just...
I saw...
Go ahead, Harper.
When I saw that fucking promo, I swear to God, he looked like... Remember Big? The movie Big with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Yes.
The fucking genie thing when he put the quarter in it and it talked to something and it had the little fucking card came out.
Yes.
He looked just like the fucking genie guy from that fucking machine from fucking Big. I thought he was going to try to read me my fucking fortune or something.
Okay,
gonna,
so before we get over to
I'm
Funk.
I'm
going to
play it in a second. But
because Funk is in the Terry. We've now had Terry Funk here.
Well, let me see.
Everybody, I told you a long time ago, everybody but Hogan and Flair comes through this piece. Here comes Terry Funk. Mike, before we go there, what were your thoughts about Corny in bed with the stuffed animal?
Well, I mean, you all said it all, so I'm not going to repeat it. But the one thing y'all didn't talk about, how Corny starts crying about the injustice and injunctions and grievances that he's now got filed on Bullet Bob because of what's happened. And you even mentioned the gauze in his mouth as he's trying to talk about this. And then, holy shit, he says he's bringing in Terry Funk September 12th. If Funk wins, Cornette will be the new commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. If Bullet Bob wins, Bullet Bob is again the Smoky Mountain Wrestling commissioner. Now, that's a big deal. So I would say more about Funk, but Harper kind of let the cat out the bag with the promo. I was going to play that right here. So are y'all ready to hear from Funk? He's a fucking crazy guy on this promo.
Here's Terry. Hold on. Stop. I did a little research here because this is what we do here. Just keep in mind when you listen to this that Terry Funk is a one-time, for many years on end, NWA heavyweight world champion when that shit meant everything.
Amen.
And he is 49 years old here. All right. I thought that was important to mention that he's damn near 50, a former world champion, and he's lost his damn mind.
Right. Let's play Terry Funk here, former NWA World Champion.
Knoxville, here I come. Oh, yes. And who is it? It's Terry Funk, the Hanging Judge. And who is the jury? Not you perverted punks, pukes, idiots, and imbeciles out there. The jury is Jim Cornette. And what are we trying? We are trying Bob Armstrong for what? For attempted murder.
Damn.
Yes, attempted murder. And what did he try to do? He tried to kill the professional wrestling business. He tried to kill Smoky Mountain Wrestling is what the man tried to do by putting his sons on television week after week after week when we all know that they are just a bunch of bastards looking for an easy buck with no talent? How could they have talent when their father has no talent? That's what I'm going to ask you. And what else is, how can you stand out there and watch a man that is on welfare, yes, welfare already, walking around the ring on a pair of crutches representing you people from Tennessee? Well, you're not going to have to worry very long, because he is not going to be commissioner again, and he is not ever going to defeat me in that ring. Because why? Because he is so old. Yes, when I get him in there, I am going to pull out his hair. I mean hair. I mean hair. One hair there, one hair here, one hair there. Oh, yes. Armstrong, you better get ready, because I am the best at what I do. Meaner than a rattlesnake, tougher than shoe leather, more dangerous than a hollow-eyed scorpion. I'm coming. I'm going to be there on the 12th. On the 12th. Do you hear me, Armstrong? Can you hear me?
Oh, fuck. Doc, go ahead. Harper kind of had said what he had thought, so I'll throw it to you first.
My first note, so it's Harper went there first. I'm going to stay there. What the shit is he wearing? And where would you buy something like that? And why would a 49-year-old man be in possession of such things?
Because he's terrified.
Yeah.
You can't skip over, if you don't watch this along with this, you cannot skip over the production values that are occurring here. There's lightning bolts that streak across his face, like across the screen every few seconds. And at the bottom, he says, "I'll see you pukes in Knoxville soon," or something. Knoxville is misspelled to N-K-N-O-C-K-S, Knoxville instead of the X. I just got, remember they used to shoot tapes and then send them across the country. I just was like, dude, did Terry sit out there in Amarillo and do some peyote or some mescaline and decide to cut his promo for Corny? And Corny got it. It was like, I don't know what this is, but I don't have time to get another one, and just play it.
I don't know.
Talk about things you wouldn't get away with in 2018. He called the Armstrong boys bastards.
Boy, did he.
Yeah,
he said that Bob Armstrong was killing their promotion by putting his kids in the ring.
He said he was on
welfare. All I could think at the end of this is, boy, we thought Sullivan was insane.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, this is Funk. Like, okay, so let's put this in perspective. Some historian, blah, blah, blah. He's probably going to Japan a lot, but I ain't trading tape, so I'm not seeing this. He'd been in WCW in 89, which is great shit he did with Flair, but that was 4 years ago. You could say he was in his mid-40s then. He's in his late 40s now. He's done some things in ECW, but ECW hasn't blown up to where it's big.
Right.
Funk's largely been off the radar of the average fan, and he was crazy in the deal with Flair in 89, but this is just lunacy. And this is where he starts to reinvent himself into that guy that will continue to wrestle for another 12 to 15 years.
Another 20, actually. I mean, isn't he?
Right.
I can't add nothing more, man. This is insane. He killed me with calling them kids bastards and stuff. I was just like, oh my God, he's really digging in deep. Once again, shit you're not going to hear now. Harper, did you want to add anything else? I don't have anything. Doc pretty much summarized everything I had.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded like he could have kept going.
He could have if you let him.
Yeah.
But.
Well, yeah, calling them bastards, and then he said something about they're fucking perverts or something.
I didn't hear. I may have missed it. Just the whole, he buried his family.
Yeah.
Now, Corny's been.
He said
now, Corny's
something
been,
about.
Go ahead, Harper.
Yeah, he said something about them being perverts and calling them bastards, and they're fucking killing the wrestling business. And this is grade A fucking shit, man.
Yeah, this is good heel stuff.
And it's crazy.
And Corny, the thing is, Corny buried Bullet Bob. I don't mean bad. I mean in a working way. Corny buried the family too in his promos. But Funk takes it to that same level, if not further.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Remember that? What did he say about the sisters or something?
Mm. Conceiving in a car. Like
the Armstrongs. Yes. Something. Yeah.
just insane.
Yeah.
Shit.
And we said it before. It's when someone comes out, another big name comes in, man, and it's fucking Terry Funk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
these things
a legit
pay off.
Main eventer. Yeah.
Former NWA champion. So
this okay. ain't some guy that this ain't some guy that you're putting on front of the poster and go, well, maybe it'll sell six more tickets. This is Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Right. Well.
And we just saw the Big Boss Man.
Right. You just saw Boss Man. Let's keep going. Because to make matters worse, we go, not matters worse, but we literally go from Cornette in bed with stuffed animals talking about the challenge that he's got with Funk, now with Bullet Bob. And then Funk cuts a crazy promo. And now we're going to hear from Bullet Bob. He's got to respond. So let's hear from Bullet Bob now after all of this. Here that is.
Bob, I know, and I know the fans thought you were rid of him forever.
Well, you know, Bob, I never wanted to be a wrestler in the first place. What I wanted to do was get back in the ring, get even with Jimmy Cornette, and that would be the gist of it. That's the end of it. That's the only reason I put on wrestling tights. Now, he played a dangerous game, and Jimmy Cornette, he lost. So he's out of it. So what does he do now? He gets me about 40 miles of bad road that I got to walk it. But I'll tell you, brother, I'm ready to walk it. What he's done is on September the 12th, he said that he'll delay his injunction and take it completely away if I wrestle to see who's the commissioner, either me or James E. Cornette.
Yeah. No way, Jim Cornette commissioner.
But listen,
no way.
The thing about it, Bob, is he's not wrestling himself. He's not able, but he's hired a homicidal maniac like he always says I am. He's hired Terry Funk, who's the number one madman in professional wrestling that'll hurt you any way he can, and it'd rather than hurt you than beat you anytime. Now, if Funk beats me, James E. Cornette will be the commissioner, and pardon this expression, but if he's commissioner, wow, Smoky Mountain will go to hell in a handbag.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you this, just five days later in Johnson City, he's bringing a surprise man. Who knows who it'll be? I can't find out. I've called everybody I know. Jim Cornette's keeping a big secret at Freedom Hall in Johnson City on the 17th, just 5 days after I have to wrestle Funk. If I beat his surprise man in Johnson City, he'll have to leave Smoky Mountain forever. Now, ain't that a good thought?
I like that. I like
that. A real good thought. Yeah. We can color James Cornette's fat fanny gone because he'll be gone. But in the same spot, see, that 40 miles of bad road, if I lose that match, I have to leave forever. And Cornette can run things the way he wants to. So within 5 days, I've got to wrestle Terry Funk, the madman, in Knoxville on September 12th, that Sunday afternoon. If I get by that any way, shape, or form, I've got to go right there to Johnson City and wrestle him. He may weigh 500 pounds, he may weigh 300. But I've got a road to hoe, brother, and I intend to hoe it because the winnings are worth it. If I can do it all, yeah, I'll be commissioner again. James Cornette in Johnson City, I'll wave bye-bye you if I beat your mystery man. So in those 5 days are the most important days of the Bullet's life. And I will be commissioner, and we will paint that fat fanny gone, like I said.
Bob, all the fans of Smoky Mountain Wrestling are going to be behind you. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Boy, they just used the first 20 minutes to 21 minutes of this show effectively in my eyes. But I'm going to throw it to Harper first and hear what he's got to say about Bullet Bob's response now to this Terry Funk challenge.
Dude, that fucking line he said about, they gave me, how'd you say it? They gave me 40 miles of bad road.
Tough.
But I'm ready to walk it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fucking great, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, you know, the shit's fucking stacked against me, but I'm ready to fucking beat this shit. Fuck y'all.
It's funny because you know what my note you know what my note was? The deck is stacked against old Bob, and he just told you how.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
he's just so great at fucking what he does, man.
He is a hell of a baby face, even at his age right here. He can really – he still draw money. I can tell you that much.
At his age, so I looked that up while he was talking. He's 54, Funk's 49. And if I could, if we could get the old Jimmy Valiant mobile together to go back in time, Harper and I would be sitting front row to watch those two get it on.
Fucking right, bro.
I don't give a shit about any Spot Monkey six-star bullshit. I want to go see Bob Armstrong and Terry Funk get it on in 1993.
I mean, they talked us into the fucking building.
He sure did, man, because Funk was crazy. So, Corny's hurt, Funk's crazy, and Bob A was just the determined, quiet, resolute hero. They all three played a different, took a different run at this, and they were in different places when they did it.
We're like 40 minutes into this shit, and we're ready to buy a ticket to a match that happened 25 years ago. 21 minutes into the show. That's how good all this is right here. And the kicks about it is, he positions this so good. He talks about the bad part of this, where he's got to wrestle Funk and how hard that will be. But, you know, he also gives the people hope when he talks about, he mentions the mystery person who have to wrestle 5 days later. If Bullet wins and then Cornette is gone for good if he wins. This is just, they position this well. This is good shit. Smoky Mountain is at the top of the roller coaster right now. Like I said, the end of last week, and we're steamrolling along. Here's the funny part. They cut a local promo right after this, but Bullet Bob cuts another great one.
God, I was going to tell you, you need to play this because Bob was great here, too.
he's like, dude,
he goes, but it's like when you hear this one, it's like Bob knows that Terry Funk's coming in. And he's like, now, I know there's going to be something called a podcast in 25 years, and I want to get that government cheese. And he cuts another one.
Yeah, let me play that. Here it is.
Saturday, Scott and Steve Armstrong against the Bruise Brothers.
That's right. Next Saturday night, Barberville, Kentucky, get ready. If you don't want to see blood, do not come. That's the bottom line, because we are in a hospital elimination match. And what that means is blood is going to come out of people's heads, noses, faces, lips, jaws. It don't matter. Somebody's going to bleed. Ain't that right, Steve?
That's right. The first man to bleed, he's out of there. Second man to bleed, he's out till it comes down to two last people. And whatever it takes, a headbutt to the nose can happen just like that. Just a fraction of a second, you can do that, and you can break a man's nose. Blood will be coming out, and he'll be gone. That's what kind of match we got. And we're looking so forward to it. And then later on, the Bullet's going to shake them all night long.
Bullet, Barberville, Kentucky, next Saturday. Comes. You and Cornette in a cage, one-on-one.
That's right. I've had a lot of inquiries about, well, after what happened in Knoxville, after what you did, Cornette, is he still going to be in that cage match? Well, my answer to you is yes. That is an ironclad cage match contract, brother. That is as good as the Constitution of the United States. If he does not show up, he'll be barred for the rest of his life, and you know he ain't going to have no part of that. I don't care if they bring him in a burlap sack and throw him in that cage in parts. I'll beat every part up, because you got it coming. You have got it coming, and you're going to get it one way or the other. I ain't a mean man, but when it comes to you, brother, I don't love thy neighbor. In fact, I go the other way. And the devil ain't gonna make me do this. I'm gonna do this on my own. You will be in the cage and you will be gone.
Damn. That old man means business, bro. Shit. Doc, you wanted me to play it. Go ahead.
The love thy neighbor line popped me. Just
right.
The only thing that would have been better is if he was doing some of those goofy dance moves while he laid that shit down, dude.
Yeah, the bullet moves. That's true. That would have been pretty cool if he did the bullet moves while he was doing that. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
And think about this, man. That guy could whip all our asses at the same time today.
With two hands tied behind his back. Oh, man. That was good. Harper, did you have anything else from it?
The fucking... I don't need the devil to make me do it. I can just do it on my own or whatever he said. Right. That shit was fucking great.
Bullet Bob was rolling. We all popped at the end. That's how good he was. You could hear the genuine emotion in this from it. Good stuff. Good Lord. Holy shit. Well, we roll from that to the Dirty White Boy versus Mike Sampson. Dirty White Boy makes quick work of Mike Sampson. Dirty White Boy wins with a buck snort blaster. Doc, any thoughts from this match?
I just think this keeps him busy while he's not in the main title chase. And as we saw last week, and we were about to see, he just retired.
Yes, yes, he just retired.
And so he needs something else to do. What could that be?
Right, all right. So I'm going to play this opening intro to Down and Dirty, and then they throw us to a recap, and I'll quickly fast forward to the after the recap where it's then.
Now, hold on. Did you guys notice what Dutch said when he introduced himself?
Yes, I'll play it.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me play it.
What
here
the
it is.
Fuck was that about?
You talk about this. Something you could not say today.
Holy shit. Here it is.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Adolf Hitler, and you're not. White boy, congratulations. You're retiring undefeated. Beat the champ. A lot of money on the line. Mr. Wright, I know this is a great, great day in your life. I understand you're going to pay the bounty today. But wait a minute. Before we do anything, let's go take a look at that glorious event that happened on Fire on the Mountain, Johnson City, Tennessee. We'll see what happened. Let's go. Let's look at it. We'll be right back.
Okay, Doc, you had mentioned it. So that was the intro, and in a second I'll play the rest of it. But I had the same question. Why the hell did Dutch say he was Adolf Hitler?
I think he may have done it. Maybe the crowd was dead, and he did it just to give him the pop, maybe.
Oh, yeah, like shock factor. Okay. Maybe so.
Right.
Because I don't know how he's being Hitler here, but... Yeah, that line caught me. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? But whatever. Okay. So they threw us to a recap. They show the end of the match. They show where Tracy gets injured. So after that, they then come back, and now we're going to hear who Ron is going to present the check to as far as the bounty check. So to paint this for you, Dirty White Boy is looking all happy. You know, he thinks his man, Ron Wright, who he's been taking care of, is about to give him the check. So I wanted to paint the picture of Dirty White Boy being happy, seeming like he's about to get the check. That's it. Here it is. Here's the rest of Down and Dirty.
All right, you saw it. What happened at Fire on the Mountain 93? Mr. Wright, are you finally satisfied?
Let me tell you, I've never been so happy. I'm so happy. I just about lost my voice and can't talk. I took the last $25,000, got a cashier's check here, every dime I could borrow, beg, and steal, and cashed in my insurance policies to get this money together to get rid of Mr. Tracy Smothers. And I want to be proud to present this check to the man that took him in the match and got rid of it, Mr. Primetime Brian Lee. I've never been so happy. I'm taking triple heart medicine.
What are you talking about? I'm the man that put Tracy Smothers out. It wasn't him. I did it. What are you doing?
Him. He was the man that had the match.
No, I'm the man that put him out.
It was my match. I signed the match. Nobody asked you to bring your fat butt out of the dressing room and drop it down. I had him in the figure four. I could have broke his leg 10 times without you.
Brother, just listen to me and listen real good. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have that heavyweight title around your belt today.
Oh, if it wasn't for you. Wait a minute, guys. Miss Fitz, do you have something to say?
You know, at first, Ronnie saw it a little differently, too. He saw it the way White Boy sees it. But, you know, we sat down, we had a little talk about it, and now he sees things differently. He sees things the way Brian and I see them, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. Whoa! You might ought to go get me a double dose of my heart medicine. My heart's just about to run come out of my body here. Get me some of my heart pills here.
Oh, God, Ron, what have you done? I can't believe it.
We're going to go make our plane reservations, and Ronnie, we'll send you a postcard.
Here, Mr. Wright.
Yes, sir, I appreciate it. They've done a good job. You need to go.
You just gave $20,000 away. We got to go talk about this, bro. You've lost your mind. You need to take some mind pills or something. You've done lost it, Ron.
There you heard it, fans. We'll be right back. Don't go away. We'll be back in 120 seconds.
Well, well, well. Harper, your thoughts.
You think Tammy had sex with old Ron?
Damn, I wasn't expecting that.
I mean, she was rubbing up on him, and you know,
when she kissed it, when she kissed the top of his head, I came unglued.
Just wait.
I mean,
it gets better.
You can see a bulge in his pants grow,
bruh.
I'm surprised he didn't get up out of that chair when that happened.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You're really going to think after you see what happens in a few weeks that she might have gave him a whiff of a snatch.
What?
Oh God!
I'm just saying, there's something that happens in a few.
You know, days. I hate to break this down for you, but not all girls smell down there, pal.
It was a figure of speech, dumbass.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
I mean, Tammy literally gave old Ron Wright a whiff of snatch. I'm leading into it like it actually happened. You know how we treat it like a real sport sometimes.
Damn. Oh,
yeah. Okay, Doc, you got things to say. What did you think about this?
Well, Ron wouldn't be the first man to forget bros versus hoes and turn on his buddies for a piece of ass. And you got to think about it. When's the last time an old man like Ron's been wooed by a young sweetie like that?
Probably been a long time.
And all those people in that territory have been like, she's an evil scorpion woman. But all the dudes, they got eyes and they see this and they're like, dude, she may be an evil bitch, but I'd still tear that up if I got a chance. So they all can sit there and say, I could see that. I could see Ron doing that.
Yeah.
And it makes Ron look like the devil because Dirty White Boy, who's a dirtbag, stood by him and helped him get all the medications and the surgeries. And they went up to New York with the doctors. And just like this, without much warning, he's let a couple of boobies and a hatchet wound down below change his mind on the Dirty White Boy.
That's a nice doc. Okay.
Yeah, we got trouble in paradise.
We really do. I need to remind everyone, Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright have been together since around episode 7 of Smoky Mountain. And here we are at episode 83. Are we about to see the end of this dynasty? I mean, we're talking nearly 80 weeks of this, you know, these two as a pair. Some really, really good times in a promotion. What the fuck? This is
everything comes to an end, son.
Everything great comes to an end. You're right about that.
Democracies, wrestling partnerships.
That's nice.
That's classy.
AR-15s.
Oh boy, here we go. All right, well, we'll keep going. That was that. So look,
here's why are you so nervous, man?
No, I'm not nervous. Here's the thing about that. Nothing was resolved right there. I mean, he gave Primetime Brian Lee the check, but they dangled the carrot like there's more to come because Dirty White Boy is pissed with Ron, and now it's like, wait, this ain't over. There's more to come. Just because he got the check don't mean this is closed. I bet now none of y'all said something that I caught.
Yeah.
Did you hear Dirty White Boy say 25,000 instead of 20?
He also said that he had that belt around.
Guess
his
he
belt.
Fucked up.
Yeah. He might have did that on purpose too, though.
I thought it was 10,000 a long time ago. And remember, I kept asking why they still have the bounty out if blah blah blah. And now we know.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. The other thing, Ron was getting real nervous. Dirty White Boy, go get my heart medicine, brother. Brother, I need my heart medicine. Can you go, Dirty White Boy? Can you go in the back and get? I'm gonna need my heart medicine. He was getting real nervous right there, bro. Real nervous. So okay, we'll keep going.
I thought it was because Sonny had his pants jiggling and he was afraid he was gonna go too far.
That's nice. Well, well, well. So after that promo, we get Tim Horner, and let's listen to Tim Horner here. Now, remember, he's still involved in a feud with Candido. Here's Tim.
All right, fans, and with us right now here is Tim Horner, White Lightning. And, Tim, you've really been going round and round with Chris Candido.
Well, that's right, Bob. You know, when Candido first came into this area, he brought that souped-up car tag title with him, called himself a world champion. You know, and when he came in here, you know, I thought it was a joke. I'll be honest with you. I thought, well, shoot, you know, I'll just have a little fun with him, you know. But the fun is out now. The party's over, Candido. This is serious business. What you've done was you embarrassed me in front of my fans, you embarrassed me in front of my family, and that don't cut it with me. I don't like it one little bit. You know, when you're a little, when kids are small sometimes, and they get kind of being little brats, you know, and sometimes get crybaby and whining around, you know, you got to go cut a switch, or you can go get a belt. Well, that's what I've done. I decided, I went to the board of directors of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I asked for a country whooping match, Bob.
Now, wait a minute. I know what a country whipping is, but what's a country whipping match, Tim?
Well, a country whipping match is where both of the wrestlers will get in the ring at the same time, and really? These belts, these straps, will be strapped to each of our wrists. Now, they won't be connected in any way. That means at any point in the match, We can strap each other. I can get in there right off the bat and I can start strapping. Or I can choke him with it, or I can throw him over the top rope, or I can do anything I want to with it. Bottom line is, Candido, the party's over. It's serious business now. You're going down, and I'm going to take you down.
Country whipping match, fans. All right, let's go to the ring.
Okay. Harper, thoughts?
Dude, what's that shirt he's wearing?
I don't know. It says
what the fuck is that?
It says it said no problem on it.
Yeah.
And it looked
at first
like
I thought it was a Bart Simpson
marker.
Shirt. I thought it was Bart Simpson at first, but it wasn't.
No, it ain't Bart Simpson. I'm looking at it. It literally looks like somebody wrote no problem on it, and it looks like some kid drew like a almost like a SpongeBob looking gimmick. But it's what
maybe
SpongeBob.
It was that little buddy of his that almost died.
Okay.
Remember the little kid that he?
Yeah, I do remember the kid. Yes, I'm not trying to be.
Oh yeah, the little handicapped kid.
Yeah, the kid who was fighting cancer or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bro. This is Horner.
Right.
Who knows?
Dude, if Horner was my dad and he goes, go get a switch, I'd be like, you go get a switch. You beat yourself. You ain't doing shit to me, pal.
Yeah, fuck you.
What are you going to do? What are you going to get a switch and put me in a natural bridge? I don't think so.
Oh, man. That's the
yeah,
whole
take your little
styrofoam
fucking lightning bolts and shove it up your ass, Dad.
Anything else, Doc?
Oh, I don't know. It's always he needs to be back in the ring with Candido and not talking. We know that
Candido needs to be doing the talking in this feud. You know, that was my thought. But Harper, anything else from you?
I don't know, man. When I hear country whooping, it sounds like something off the menu at fucking Crackle Barrel.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, we'll keep going. We got
like
Jason.
Biscuits and fucking gravy.
Biscuits and gravy, yeah. I caught you when you said it. I knew what you meant. All right. So we got Jason West versus Chris Candido up next. And I don't have much memorable from this match except for when Candido launches himself from the ring to the floor and he crossbodies West. During the match, Bob and Dutch are still talking about Cornette possibly becoming the commissioner. Candido finishes off West with a suicide plex off the top rope to the fans' displeasure. Candido grabs a mic at the end and says that he heard Horner talk about a country whooping match. Well, Candido is going to show us a New Jersey whooping match, and Candido proceeds to whooping poor Jason West. Doc, your thoughts on the match?
Man, Bob Caudle's worried that Corny's going to be the commissioner and he's going to be out of a job, dude. Dutch is like, I'll go to bat for you. Candido's offense does not, it's great, but I doubt the people in the crowd were appreciative of what they were seeing.
Nah, they still can't appreciate his style at this point. And he's really good in there. I mean, I'm not saying he's bad. It's just, it felt like the people kind of, you got to remember too, there's only 300 people in this building, but they weren't, his offense, they're just kind of like, man. But he's a heel, you know, so they're not going to cheer him. They're not going to pop for it. This is 93 before people pop for the heels doing the cool moves. So you got to keep that in mind, too. Harper, anything you have from the match?
No, just he does things in a ring that you see other guys that don't do.
Sure as hell does.
So he stands out.
Yeah, I mean, he sticks out from the crowd.
He 100% sticks out. He's very unique for this promotion.
Yeah.
That's what makes him really good here. After Candido and West, they go to a Bruise Brothers promo. It's pretty standard stuff as they threaten to rock and roll with shaving their heads. Let me play it for us. Here it is.
Fans, and here they are moving out of the big Bruise Brothers, Morristown, September 11th, Rock and Roll Express. They're going to put their hair up against the belts, and they say, no way are they going to lose their hair. What about it?
It's like this. We heard them out here saying we worked our way to the top. We've earned everything that we got. Well, by God, this right here is something you ain't got, boy. So now you've done everything you could do, and we beat you all across these states. So now you decided you want to put your hair up. Well, put your hair up. You're going to be running around Morristown in front of all these fans without these belts with bald heads. And let's see how these fans are. Let's see if they get behind you when you short, ugly, and no belt.
Bottom line, rock and roll, no respect for you. I ain't got no respect for anybody climbs in that ring with us. We do what we gotta do. We keep these belts on our waist. Rock and roll, you're gonna be bald-headed. Then, when we get through with you, little punks, we got somebody waiting in line called Armstrong. They running around here, and all you people think they're so bad because they got an old decrepit daddy watching everything they do. You come up and get your title shot, boys. Armstrongs, we coming at you. Come get it and see what you can do.
Don't miss it, man. September 11th, Morristown.
Harper, thoughts on the Bruce Brothers there?
Fuck, that was good, man. That was a good promo.
Yeah, I thought they were good. I liked
it. You know, because I didn't see him with Cornette, and I was kind of worried. But, yeah, I mean, that was good. And who loses the hair?
Oh, I ain't telling you.
Fuck, I ain't telling man. You. You don't let me sit up for fucking 5 hours watching this shit to find out.
I'm not telling you who. I'm not telling you if they lose their hair. So remember, it's hair versus the belt. So Rock and Roll wins, they win the belts. But if Bruce Brothers win, the Rock and Roll shaving their hair. So that nobody's the Rock and Roll are the ones who are only ones at risk for losing their hair. Doc, what did you have?
All they're going to do is just cut the
mullet off.
Cut the back off and just not have a mullet. Yeah.
It's just as bad as being bald if you're to Rock and Roll. Oh boy. Doc, what did you have from this?
I'm gonna disagree. I didn't like this much at all. I thought it was just stereotypical big wrestlers yelling the whole time and just once and for all and let me tell you something, and it didn't do much for me.
Okay. Well, fair is fair. Whatever. Everybody has an opinion. Let's move on to the next match. We got Kevin Sullivan versus Steve Armstrong. Sullivan attacks Steve from the get-go when he goes right after Steve as Steve is taking off his jacket. This isn't much of a wrestling match. It's a damn brawl mostly, although we do spend some time in the ring. Steve wins by DQ when the Bruise Brothers hit the ring out of nowhere as Steve was about to beat Sullivan for the pinfall. Scott and Bullet then hit the ring to help out Steve, and they help clear the ring before we go to commercial. Doc, thoughts on the match and everything we saw here?
Sullivan hit a powerbomb that did not finish the match, by the way.
Yep. Yeah. True.
And was it just me, or did it look like Steve had to pull Sullivan up at the pin because the Bruise Brothers were late getting to the ring?
I missed that, but it could have been I just looked away and I was making sure my notes were down real good. But I missed it. So did you see that too?
I just think that when they hit the ring, someone should have had a chair. Because, I mean, these guys are huge giants, you know?
Right.
And it's just, yeah, Bullet, that would be the fucking equalizer. Because, I mean, Bullet Bob's, you know, he's still the oldest guy there, you know? He's not going to beat the shit out of these two guys. So I think one of them should have had a chair.
Yeah, but, I could see that.
You know, whatever.
No, I can see that. Even though they're big, it's still, hey, bring the chairs to the ring because you're heels. Doc, I just watched what you said. I don't know if he picked them up or if because they were in his line of sight, he saw them coming, so he got up so that he wouldn't get hit in the back, but they still were able to attack him because it was 2-on-1. But I saw exactly what you're talking about. It almost looks like he picks them up. It's kind of hard to tell, though.
And imagine if Sullivan 93 and Funk 93 fought each other.
Jesus Christ. Oh.
Would have been pretty. That'd be some badass shit, I can tell you that much.
Or imagine this one. Here's another fantasy booking I put together thinking about this. What about 93 Sullivan versus 86 Ron Garvin?
Oh. Oh.
Damn.
That they would have beat the shit out of each other.
Right.
Oh, hell,
okay.
you want to really make it a bloodbath? Sullivan and Garvin and Wahoo in a three-way just fucking pounding on each other.
With Funk doing intermittent run-ins for
well,
no
screw
reason.
It. We'll make it even better. We'll do it a four-way. Yeah, that would have been a hell of a... God, there would have been so much blood. They'd have beat the piss out of each other. All right. Well, we'll keep going. Doc, notes from the local promo. Did you have any?
It was not really.
Me either. Harper, did you have any?
No.
Yeah, it was Del Rey. It was the Heavenly Bodies, but they were out corny because Corny's injured right now. So we'll go from that to the closing promo, which is Scott and Steve Armstrong. Here they are.
All right, fans, with us right now, the Armstrongs. And, of course, just a short time ago, the big ones, the Bruise Brothers, were out here, and they were saying what they were going to do to the Armstrongs.
That's exactly right, Bob Connell. Number one, though, I want to say the best of luck to Bullet Bob Armstrong, because he's got that man Terry Funk coming into wrestling at Jim Cornette from his deathbed, still got tricks up his sleeve. But number two, we would love nothing better than to have those Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship tag belts around our waist. And it's the Bruise Brothers that are champions right now. And if the Rock and Roll Express don't beat us to it, belts or no belts, big boys, you gonna understand, we know where to kick a man and bring him to his knees. It don't matter if he's tall as a pine tree. Tell him, Steve.
That's right, he can be bigger than a mountain. But if he ain't got the heart of a lion inside of him, it don't mean diddly squat. You understand what I'm talking about? It took three of them just to try to do us in. Thank God for family. You know what I mean? Thank God for family.
Amen, brother.
Bruise Brothers, y'all are big and bad, but you can be had. We're going to prove it to you.
All right, fans, the Armstrongs right there. Next week, we're going to have another great hour for you.
All right. Scott and Steve there at the end. What'd you have from that, Harper?
I want to see their dad, damn it.
I think we all do at this point. We want to see what happens with Funk and the Bullet. That overshadows anything else that happened in this episode.
Yes.
Doc, your thoughts on the promo here?
Pretty standard issue for them.
Yeah. Not bad, but I mean, I'm sorry. They're overshadowed by their pops earlier in the show. They just are. So
God, that guy's fucking awesome, huh?
So with that said, I want to give out the government cheese first. I mean, disability checks. Here's the thing about this. This show, from the Cornette segment to the Funk promo to the Bullet Bob promo to the Bullet Bob local promo to Down and Dirty with Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright, those segments there, this show was a 10, but the other stuff brought it down. Last week I did a 9.25. I'm giving this an 8.9.
What?
Think about it. What? Okay, hold on, Doc. Robbie Eagle and the Dark Secret versus Rock and Roll Express.
So you're saying that...
Shut up and answer my question, asshole.
I can't believe this.
8.9. What are you giving it, Doc?
I want to hear Harper's. He gave a 10 last week.
I want to give it a solid 9. A 9.
There you go. Is it because of the matches?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Again, Doc, before Doc gives his rating, let me point out the matches to you. Robbie Eagle and Dark Secret versus Rock
I know
Rock
the
Express.
Matches. We just went
Shut up, motherfucker.
Here.
I'm telling you why I gave it an 8.9. Then we had the Rock and Roll Express give a mundane promo. Whoop-de-woo. Wasn't nothing spectacular. All right? There you go. We had a Tim Horner promo that was meh. We had Jason West versus Candido. Candido shined, but it's a bullshit match. I mean, nothing knocking on them. Bruise Brothers was an average promo. Sullivan and Armstrong didn't even go long because it ends up in a DQ. And then we get Scott and Steve give us an average promo. That doesn't hold a candle to what we saw last week. Now, the middle part of the show is like Harper said, 8.9 to 9 worthy. 8.9 for me, 9 for him. So what are you giving it, Doc?
We saw Terry Funk.
Right. What are you giving it, Doc? Let's hear this.
I'm giving it a 9.7.
And what did you give last week?
9.12.
Okay. So, everybody, that's how he plays bullshit. He plays spin doctor on this. He has no legitimate rating system. He gave last week a 9.1, which was balls to the wall from top to bottom. He gives this a 9.7, which had, don't get me wrong, 40 minutes of good shit. 35 minutes of good shit and 15 minutes of average shit. But last week we got 50 minutes of great shit. But he gives this a 9. But he gave that a 9.1 and 9.7. See, your rating system fucked up.
I thought the moments this week that were hot were hotter than the moments last week.
All right. We're talking overall show. We're not talking moments.
The moments comprise the show.
You're like
I can honestly say I am surprised that both of you didn't have this week's higher than last week's.
he's just being Ornery Harper. This is his way of playing around with the audience. Yep. Because he knows the audience is going to do just like me. Everything's a work. He knows the audience will see the same thing we did, where it was like, you know, last week you gave it a 10, I gave it 9.25, and here he was, you know, giving it a 9.1 or whatever he did. And he knows the audience will be like, Doc's stupid. He's fucking playing with him. It's all a work. It's all because he plays heel. And then he comes back this week and gives this one almost a perfect score when there were four really good segments, one exceptional if you consider Cornette and Funk and Bullet Bob. I mean, he's just playing spin doctor. That's what he does. It's all a fucking work in Doc's eye. He's working the people up into a lather because he knows they'll tweet me, and he knows that I'm the one responding to the tweets. So if you disagree with Doc, don't tweet me. Tweet at BTT_Doc, the fake Doc. Let him deal with the fallout from this shit. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Marry him. Marry me. Never, 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 never. I ain't got no rhythm or family tree, but... Remember that song?
Yeah, the Spin Doctors.
I don't remember
that song. Yeah, the Spin Doctors.
That's nice.
I didn't know that was a real thing. I thought that was just name of a fucking band from the 90s.
I don't remember. But you know what I
neither
do
one
remember?
Of you knows the other, neither one of you knows the other meaning of this term.
I guess. But you know what I do know? I do know that if you become a patron and use tinyurl.com/BTTPatron, you can get access to almost 50 patron-only shows, including the world-class championship wrestling episodes that we have done. So become a patron, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. $2 a month is all it costs. Now, you can sign up for more and get a free T-shirt after 6 months, and another free T-shirt after 12 months, and all that good stuff, depending on the level you choose. But for $2 a month, you get all of the patron content. So become a patron, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron, and then use our Amazon referral link, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It's a great way to support the show. We get a kickback in return from Amazon, and it really helps the show out. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Government Cheese Award time in honor of Shard Johnson, longtime listener. Doc, who's getting the cheese? You know everything, oh great one.
You get into that 4-segment run, and it gets real hard to parse out who gets the cheese. And it's a little bit of a disingenuous move, something you like to do a lot, where you just give it to everybody involved. But that's not how I roll. I'm gonna split the hairs here. And for multiple appearances of badassedness being key, give it to B.A. Bob Armstrong to me. Even with Terry Funk making his debut and Corny in his bed with stuffed animals, I'm going to say give me Bob Armstrong, pal.
Harper, who are you giving it to?
It's got to be Bob. Every week I hear something new that makes me fucking grab a pen and fucking write this shit down.
Yeah, he's that good. He's really that good. Mm-hmm. I got to give it to Bullet Bob. Part of the reason is, though, because here's a little bit of a spoiler for you. Cornette's in the bed for another week or
fuck?
Two. So we're going to – this wasn't even the best bed scene from Cornette in the guys. So with that said, just knowing that's coming, Bullet Bob's got to get it. And Funk was great, but Bullet Bob was on it. As a babyface, he had the perfect response to Terry Funk and Jim Cornette.
Well, and I want to say Terry Funk's going to cut one either next week or the week after with a shotgun. So there's that.
What?
Not an AR-15, but a shotgun, boys and girls.
Damn.
Talk about things you can't do today.
I don't know, bro. Just imagine if somebody walked out on Raw and cut a promo with a shotgun.
Yeah, imagine if fucking Steve Austin did the fucking Brian Pillman thing today.
Oh, God. You'd never think about things been, you'd never see.
You know what that episode would be referred to as? The final Raw.
What?
Yeah. It'd get pulled off the air. Or, you know, remember the one where Austin puts the gun to McMahon's head?
And he pissed his pants.
Yeah. And the little flag came out that said bang.
Uh-huh.
Imagine if they just did that. I mean, they'd be off the air.
That Pillman thing was rough then, and they caught a lot of flack then.
Yeah,
they'd have to pull them. Can you imagine the outcry from people?
That was stiff then.
Imagine 2018 mm-hmm. eyes
that
viewing
was like
that.
Basically 20 years ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine 2018 viewing that. Jesus Christ, people would lose their shit.
I got a little nervous the other night. I was watching Super Brawl 3 because you and I were talking about it. And out comes Benoit. I was like, is it okay for me to watch this?
Bruh, that pay-per-view is exceptional. We need to talk about that main event at some point.
I haven't
Vader
made it
and
that
Sting.
Far yet, but
Super Brawl 3 is exceptional. I went
all
back
right,
and
nobody
did,
came what, nobody came here for a Schiavone podcast.
No. What I'm gonna say was I went back and did I looked at it after Mullet of Morton on Twitter tweeted it to me and I was like, all right, let me go in and look at it and holy shit. One, I had already seen it, obviously, I remembered it. And then I watched it, and I was like, yeah, this shit was as good as I remember. Anyway, we'll keep going, because we gotta get up on out of here. So, hey, check out the Pro Wrestling Tee Store. Check the links. It's in the show description. Facebook.com/BookingTheTerritory. Click shop now. That'll also bring you to the Pro Wrestling Tee Store. Hit the like button while you're on Facebook. And then Twitter. Harper's at CJHHootat. I'm at Mike504Saints. The show is at BTT_podcast. Retweet the shows when they post, please. Share them on Facebook if you're on there, please. We would appreciate it. Make sure you check out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with Brian Malonis and Mike Crockett. Malonis is doing his thing now in ROH, tag teaming with the Beer City Bruiser. Former BTT guest back in the day. I'll have to look to get him back on because he's one of them old school guys we really, really do like. But they do their podcast, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, every single Monday. So just search Wrestling Podcast About Nothing and enjoy some of their classic stuff that they're doing these days as well. Lastly, shout out to the Hall of Fame patrons at 945 Sports Beat, a.k.a. Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, MPRU83, LS, Ari Miller 39, at Justin_Andretti, JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider91US, at ShipDaddy32, at USC49ersDodger, who's in a feud right now with @BTT_Doc, as I recall, at Gerald Green III, at TOG94, at SVPageam, at MartinHouse71, Tim Moretti, Godbold Unreal, and Convince Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Oh, Codeman822, Cody Bryan, before I miss you. Doc, anything else before we get out of here tonight?
Nah, bruh.
This was a hell of an episode again. Again, we're on the fucking upswing now. Smoky Mountain is in full effect. Harper, are we on the upswing? Do you agree?
Yes. I can't wait for fucking episode 84.
He's going to go watch it now. It's Sunday night. He's got time on his hands. Mm-hmm. Unless he goes back to
sleep. Yeah, fuck Walking Dead.
Yeah. That's what's up to come on. You mean you're not going to watch Elimination Chamber? Never mind.
No.
Oh, boy. All right, Doc. We're going to get out of here. Harper, hit the tagline. Take us home.
Fuck it, bitch.